What you missed on Weekend Mornings with Jason Dacey.
Well, we're here in our Career Crossroads segment, part two. Earlier on, we heard from Adrian Chu, the Master Career Coach, who gave his five people you need in your inner circle at work: the cheerleader, the bigwig, the hidden mentors, the accountability buddy, and the go-to guy, gal. So, Adrian, now it's my turn to give this is like the secondary ring road. You got the inner ring road, this is the secondary, the outer ring road.
Yeah, so who are the five buddies, five types of coworkers?
Yeah, these are the ones, the secondary ones, right? Yeah. Okay, first person, the accounts person.
Okay, tell me.
Well, actually, I have an old friend from media called Peter Dempsey. I used to work with him in Australia and in the UK. He's a producer. And, he produced my story sometimes. He was also an editor. We worked in business together. And he said anytime he went into any media organization, the first person that he'd go and meet would be the accounts person once he got that job. He'd go up to them, shake their hand, ask them about their family. He'd bring them a cup of coffee and he'd have a great chat with them because he knew that he needed to get paid at the end of the month. And the accounts person can make that happen. Invariably, that would be a very good process. He'd have a much better experience than a lot of other people in that organization because, especially in media, you're often chasing money. And I guess it's different when you're an employee or a contractor is quite different. So he would make that a relationship. He'd build that relationship with the accounts person or the payroll person.
That's brilliant.
Can you see why?
Yes, I can see why. In fact, I'm going to go make friends now, some new friends with the guys in accounting.
Yeah,
right now,
give them a shoulder massage if they want that. Do anything they need. So that's the first person, the accounts person. The other one, this is a surprising one, the security department.
Oh, okay. Tell us why.
And this can be both the security guard and also the security department in general. And as you know, I worked in Disney for about 4 years and I had a great relationship with the security department because when you travel regionally, they need to take care of you. They know about where you're going, the hotels, the flights. And one time I went to Malaysia and I lost my wallet.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of – luckily, when I go to Malaysia, I usually use my second wallet. So it wasn't the whole wallet, the Singapore wallet, but it was the Malaysia wallet. So I didn't have all the big cards, but I had a couple of cards. And it's still inconvenient, had some cash in there. I knew exactly who to call in the security department. And they helped me out, canceling this and that. And I had a corporate credit card. They helped me cancel that. So it always helps to have that relationship with the security department. Had any experiences with security people?
Only good ones, I assure you. Only good ones. Yeah. It's not like being hauled off the premises.
And also, there's different levels, of course, isn't there? There's the security department and there's also the security guards within the building.
Yeah.
And I also had a good relationship with the security guards within the buildings I've worked in because working in media, you're often working odd hours.
Yes,
you're coming
in
and doing recordings and writing articles and getting guests in. And if they know who you are, they can make life a lot easier and getting packages and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And these are the guys, a lot of times, they are literally the gatekeepers as well.
They are.
So, yeah, especially for someone like you who have rabbit fans and stalkers, you can keep them away as well, right? So,
Which only if, and this flows on to the third person, the front desk person. So that could be the secretary or the receptionist. Have a good relationship with that person because they can often coordinate things. And people you don't want to see, they can also shield, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And a lot of times these guys, these people up in the recep and the secretary and all these, in fact, a lot of times they could be the sponsor I was talking about because these are the guys who can influence the other people.
Yes.
In terms of time slots and everything
else. Yes, yeah.
So these are the people you really want on your side as well.
Exactly. And you know what? They can also have a lot of influence, especially if they've been there for a while, on the GM and the bosses because they can say, wow, that Adrian Chu, he's really good. He works so hard. They can just slip stuff in like that and help you.
Yeah, that's right. So always be nice, right, to them especially.
Always be nice. We've seen in movies, haven't we, when someone's been fired or whatever, or the way that the front receptionist can react to that or, something important's happening.
Yeah,
look, next time you're watching 9 to 5 and some of these career movies, have a look at the front receptionist.
Sometimes they are the kingmakers.
Yes.
Yeah, they nudge things around and they're actually the ones in charge. And it's like watching, remember MASH, the old TV series?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, Rita O'Reilly. He was the one who was running the whole unit rather than Colonel Blake, right?
That's right. It's a very good analogy. Okay, so the other person I've got, number four, is the other department ally. And we touched on this with yours. Someone from another department. Again, it's similar to what you said. I guess that would be the, it could be, you know, the accountability buddy or the go-to guy, girl. This really helped me in my couple of previous jobs where I could speak to someone in another department. And also as part of the whole company, you know, you can get that sort of vibe of, you know, this person knows who you are and you know who they are. And then if there's any company-wide activity, you can be included, right?
Yeah. In fact, I think that's a brilliant strategy because this speaks to networking outside your sphere.
Exactly.
So when you have an external point of view or just having an ally, like what you mentioned, on someone outside your fence, and you're able to have an external view or even external influences as well. So I think that's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah, and I remember when I worked at Disney, we had a team building day playing bubble soccer. This is where you play like in a cage kind of soccer environment, okay. And you're wearing this massive shield that makes it more difficult. You sort of like this round shield.
Okay.
And I remember from that team building exercise, I created a lot of other department allies from being teammates, and because no one really from my department went. I was in a small department. I think maybe one or two went, but they didn't play. I was the only one that played. So you're making allies in other departments, and that down the road really I think paid off as far as just having that good rapport with other people, and then they try and include you with other events that would come up.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. I'm glad you weren't feeling too competitive that day. Otherwise, you have made a lot of enemies.
I didn't say that. I was pretty competitive, but again, it was all in the spirit of team building. And I think these team building exercises are very important to build the inner and outer circles, don't you think?
Yeah. Brilliant, actually. Brilliant.
All right. And the last person is the local barista and cafe owner.
Oh, wow.
This is because think how many times you've got a really important meeting and someone comes to your office and then you're heading to a cafe outside, and you want to create that kind of convivial, friendly atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was you might find out from that barista, there might be some sort of connection they can help you with. And here's an example. I was at the Sydney office of Disney a couple of years ago, and their office is quite close to the Queen Victoria building in central Sydney near Town Hall Station. And they have a great cafe downstairs where a lot of people go for coffees and all that. And as you know, I used to be a sports broadcaster. And the guy serving the coffees turned out to be an ex-semi-pro soccer player, football player. And
that's a very odd career move.
It is. But he had his own small business and that's what he did. And so just by chance, I had another fellow broadcaster, slash sports journalist come in and they both recognized each other.
Oh, wow.
And then they had this connection and he goes, oh, right. Okay. You will work in this. And then from then on, I could barely pay for a coffee because he'd always give me free coffees and he'd always have that understanding. And it was great to bring clients or co-workers there because there was such a nice atmosphere.
Wow, nice. I have to start tipping my barista better then.
It's true though, isn't it important to have a good cafe to go to and have that coffee, not just for the taste of the coffee, but to create that atmosphere when you're doing meetings and whatever else.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and it's nice, especially if it's a nice, comfortable, homely type atmosphere. And it also, it's also impressive to the client of yours when you come in and the barista, you treat the barista nice and he calls you on a first name basis.
Yes.
Yeah, the client knows that they're dealing with a nice guy, a real stand-up guy.
Yes, exactly. And we talk about the inner circle and we've discussed it in previous weeks. You know, if the inner circle for you isn't working, isn't supporting you, get a new inner circle, right? Yeah. Even if you've made these strategic choices within an office.
Yeah, that's right. And I have a mentor who keeps telling me that you're the average of your five best buddies.
You're the average.
You're the average in the sense that, so surround yourself with all the good people so that your skills and everything goes up.
Yes.
Rather than mixing around with the people who will drag you down.
Mm.
And then you're going down.
Exactly. And you know what? When you've been in a kind of toxic office atmosphere and you've been in that for several years and then you move into a normal office atmosphere, you're looking around kind of over your shoulder all the time and you're waiting for that sting in the tail that you used to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And it's nice to be in a very happy office environment.
Mm.
And I think one of the most important factors as well is that, of the 10 profiles which we mentioned today, five of yours, five of mine, I think what goes around comes around, what you mentioned. So we should play the cheerleader role. We should play the sponsor role when we can. You know, we should play even right down to the good barista, being a good host.
Yes, exactly. You know, what also helps is when you join a team or a company and you know someone there already, or you've got some sort of existing relationship with someone within that team, that can help you get into a job easier, I think, and a smoother transition.
Yeah, that's right. So it's good to have great relationships all around. It's also important to be wise as well with who you share too much, whether you're not sharing too much information with.
Yes, and I made that mistake. I think you get kind of on a roll and you're sharing stuff and you realize, oh my God, I shouldn't have said that.
Or,
So don't talk about, what are the things you should not talk about with your inner circle, inner and secondary circle? Your salary, obviously.
Oh, yeah, salary. Ouch, that's taboo.
So what are some of the other things that you should avoid talking about in this, even if it's a cozy office environment?
I don't know. I think I would be very worried talking about future career plans.
Right.
Or my job hunt. If I'm looking for a job outside, I actually have clients who are so transparent. They tell their colleagues, hey, I'm actually looking for a job outside.
Mm.
Bad move. So, they're not always on your side. So that, interestingly, some people make it a choice to keep their family matters out of it as well.
Mm.
They don't talk about the family.
At all.
Mm. For some reason or other. But I don't know. We folks like us, we talk about it all the time, right?
So yeah, we talk about our kids and our spouses to a certain extent. But I think only kind of light and trivial stuff, not deep and meaningful stuff. But
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I think there are some cards you want to hold close to your heart, keep up your sleeve.
Mm.
But in general, sensitive stuff, don't try not to talk about religion or politics as well, I
guess.
Yeah,
so exactly.
You'll never find someone who's too happy about any comment you make about those two. So.
And also be careful of your football team discussion.
Yes.
If you're a Liverpool fan and you're working with a Man United fan, you might want to try and talk about something else, right?
I actually have. I know this guy who actually pissed off his boss's boss. Yeah, because he wore a red colour T-shirt.
Okay.
So it was funny.
Okay. So just summarising my secondary inner circle after Adrian's, closer inner circle. These are the people that I think that are useful from a secondary point of view to be close to: the accounts person, the security department, the front desk person, the other department ally that you can talk to, and also the local barista and cafe owner. Do I get the Adrian Chu seal of approval?
Yes, two thumbs up.
All right, Adrian, I know you're taking a couple of weeks off. We'll see you again in September, but thanks so much for being our guest once again on Career Crossroads.
Looking forward to it. Have a good weekend ahead, everybody.